whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
The hitting is extra hard this week on Primetime.
Oh, he gets walloped!
This is a wild card week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen. Online at warrenallen.com.
Wild card week with Isaac and Sue on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Oh, and he took a hard hit. Hello.
The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Oh,
what's up?
Hello.
Wednesday. Hello. What's everybody doing today?
Where have you guys been?
What's going on?
Oh, just missing Mike Riley now.
Another nice day.
Thought of
college football playoff committee, Mike Riley.
Is he on the committee?
Mm-hmm.
I can't say I knew that.
He was part of the team this year. You should know that because we talked about it on our radio show.
Really?
I think I knew that, but it's one of those things that's easy to forget.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Mike's a pretty unassuming fella.
Well, he's been bouncing around a little bit since Nebraska. He was like, he's been in the UFL or XFL or some L. I don't know.
You guys talk about him a lot. You should bring him back.
I know. I've said that a lot many times. I wish we had a producer who could go fetch him.
Well, don't you have his information? I do not.
I actually don't.
I don't.
I mean, I'm sure I can find a way to get it, but
yeah, I don't think he's a hard guy to get a hold of.
That is kind of.
But you guys wax poetic about Coach Riley quite frequently.
Well, yeah, he's one of the greats.
He's great. I mean, of all the
a great man.
We have covered a lot of people over the 20 years we've been doing this, and you know, whatever you think of him as a coach, you know, Will Darkins, who actually played for him, Will was never a big Mike Riley guy. He just, the all shucks thing didn't work for him. I found Mike Riley to be delightful, and I wanted Mike Riley to win.
Well, if you haven't noticed, Buckley, you got two jaded guys over here who are old and cranky.
Yeah.
And
he was a breath of fresh air, it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what he is. Is not
well,
was.
No, no. I mean, like,
he's not dead.
No. I don't mean was like
to us,
past
yes.
tense, but just in your interactions with him.
I am awful tired of the cranky jerk football coaches.
Yeah, and he was not.
And Riley's just the. I mean, yeah. he's a freaking unicorn.
He was just a joy
in the business.
And that was me. Like almost every coach I had was just. They were just a red ass.
They're all the same.
They all the same. And
except
I,
for Mike.
And I never. It never worked with me, which is also why one of the reasons I never went into coaching, I was always afraid that I would turn into one. Because if you, like, you always say, like, you don't want to be like your parents, and then you wake up one day and you realize, oh my God, like, I'm my parents because it's all I know. I was always afraid that I would turn into that coach. And so when Mike Riley was recruiting me at Oregon, he had just gotten, like, I would have missed him by, like, one recruiting cycle. And I remember when I was getting recruited by Oregon State, it was so bad. That was the Pettibone days. Their recruiting pitch to me was, if you get hurt and you don't have anywhere else to go, you can come play here. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. Thank you.
Wow.
Let's go run the wishbone. And I always regret if I had been a year later, I could have gotten Mike Riley. And I think I would have gone and played for Mike Riley. He just was that guy that related to me. And I always joked that when he got to the Rose Bowl, I would give him a hug at the Rose Bowl. And he was like, he thought that was great. I said, I'm going to find you on the sidelines and I'm just going to hug you. And Riley was like, he thought it was great. And it never happened. Came close a couple times, but never got to the roses. So I never got my Mike Riley hug. I can't picture myself. And I really like Dan Lanning, but I don't think me and Dan Lanning would ever embrace. Whereas Mike Riley, Mike wanted a hug.
It'd have to be some like high T chest bump, kind of like you saw with him and like the Bussin' boys from Barstool after they beat Ohio State.
No, because Riley asked, he's like, he goes, we can just hug, and I was like, no, we're saving it for the Rose Bowl. You know, there's not many coaches that as a media guy that you would hug. I'm not hugging Chip Kelly. I'm not hugging Mike Bellotti. I'm not hugging Dan Lanning. I certainly wasn't hugging Mario Cristobal. But Coach Riley. That's a huggable man.
Imagine trying to hug Mario Cristobal.
I think we just
how would that go?
I think we would. If you ever seen Step Brothers, it'd be like that, where like it would turn into like some sort of weird grappling match where it would be like a hug but a wrestling thing. It wouldn't be good.
You know who else was cool?
Hmm.
Super nice guy, Clay Helton.
Really?
He was.
You're gonna go Clay Helton?
Well, yeah, he's a great guy. Hmm. Really nice guy. I mean, I'm just trying to think of coaches who just. they were just genuinely good, nice men.
I really liked Pat Casey, too.
Yeah, but he's a baseball
guy.
He's
a baseball
guy. He's a little different.
Yes.
But Helton was nice.
Yeah.
He really was. And David Shaw was really nice.
Shaw was nice. Absolutely.
He's supposed to be a candidate for the Saints job, David Shaw.
Okay. Where's he been? What's he been doing?
I don't remember.
Did you get him on?
Sure.
Remember when Pat Casey, was that the old Caddies for Cure that he would come to? Was that the charity thing? We were at a charity event, and maybe this is just an Oregon State mentality. And we were at a charity event. I think it's Caddies for Cure, but it might have been something else. Maybe it was the Oregon Sports Awards. But I don't know if you've ever had the pleasure of having someone jump on your back and you're not ready for it. You just feel someone on your back. And as a big guy, it happens from time to time. And I'm at that charity event and I feel someone on my back. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I'm thinking like, it's got to be like a Wilcox or something. Lo and behold, Pat Casey. You just, of all the people in that moment that I could have said came and ran over and jumped on me, I did not expect Pat Casey. And yet there was Pat Casey on my back. Again, yeah, great man.
Yeah, he was, I've told this story before, but he, my wife's uncle was dying of cancer, lived in Monmouth. Mm-hmm. And
is that the old Dairy Queen Monmouth out there?
Uh-huh, yeah. Yep. In the family.
Yep.
Yeah, they all lived out there. And he worked in the tannery for years, so he was riddled with cancer, died very young, 50s, you know. Maybe he might have been 60, but I think he was in his 50s.
Yeah, early, though, you know.
But he was a huge Oregon State fan. And he was talking to me about, as he was dying, he was talking to me about, because we'd go down and visit him, you know. Mm-hmm. He loved golf, big sports guy, listened to the show, big Oregon State guy, loved Pat Casey. And he was like, hey, you know, can you hook me up with Pat Casey? I didn't have to do a thing.
Yeah.
Somebody got a hold of Pat Casey. Mm-hmm. And the idea was to get Pat Casey on the phone.
Yeah.
Pat Casey showed up at his front door. Seriously.
And probably sat.
And he went in his living room and they sat there and talked for hours. Yeah. From what I'm told, it turns out they were roughly the same age and had a lot of mutual friends.
That's so cool.
And he sat there and talked to him for like, you know, that's, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
He was.
Come on.
And still is. I keep saying was.
Yeah. No, he's rest in peace.
Rest in peace. He's not dead. There's just occasionally one of those guys that just, I mean, was it three national titles that Pat Casey won at Oregon State, right? Three? Like, that guy has every reason to big time people, and he just didn't. He was just a good freaking dude. In a world, and I'm not saying any of these high T coaches aren't good guys. It's just, I don't know. It's refreshing when you get someone that isn't mash the gas in your face 24/7 all the time.
Well, it sounds like the individuals you're talking about more authentic than manufactured.
Well, that's what Oregon State always has been.
Yeah.
Compared to Oregon. And it served them well.
Yeah.
Because that's just kind of their vibe.
Yeah.
Down there.
Yeah.
And they've always had coaches like that. I mean, Tinkle's like that.
Yeah. Well, Craig Robinson was was a good
He
dude.
Was really nice.
Yeah.
They just have that kind of fit culture type thing going on down there. And
yeah.
I don't know about Bray. I mean, I remember covering him when he played, but I haven't talked to him since.
And I just miss.
They always have had that rep.
Yeah.
And they've just been easy to work with. And now they get a little bristly because of the whole, you know, everything that's gone on.
Sure.
And now we're the Oregon station, so that pisses them off.
It's the relationship just isn't quite what it was. And,
they're great.
I miss that.
They're not all uppity.
No, I just
like
miss,
most people in sports.
I miss that.
Like
connection.
Ryan Buckley. Producers.
What did I do to catch that stray?
No, you're just you. All the sports people.
Okay.
Hard to get along with.
Well, they all
think they're amazing.
These people are crazy. There's something wrong with them.
See?
And I went through a lot.
Even Trump knows.
From high school to college to the NFL. I just, in all those years, I just don't remember many coaches that I thought were, and this is not a, good guy is a wrong term, because some of those guys, I'm sure, were good men.
Yeah.
They just, I don't know, guys that I felt personally that I wanted to have a relationship with. I had one guy, my senior year, our running backs coach got bumped over to be my O-line coach, and I think that might be the only coach in my that I was directly involved with that I really, really liked or loved. I just, and shocking, that was the only year that I really enjoyed everything about football. And it just, when you have someone that you like to be around every day that uplifts you and makes you feel good and you want to perform for.
Thank you, Sue.
It's shocking how much better life can be. Whereas when you have a taskmaster, old curmudgeon, Gargamel yelling at you all the time because he's going to get the most out of you.
Gargamel.
Yeah, well, my coach looked like Gargamel, and he just was a
terror. Did he have a cat named Azrael?
He did have a cat.
Was it named Azrael?
I don't think so, but he had a cat.
The Smurfs were great.
He lived in a basement, and he had a cat, and he was like 1,000 years old, and he was just a terrible person.
Did you watch the Smurfs?
Love the Smurfs.
They really were great.
Yeah, except you haven't seen any of like the whole...
We've talked about that. But the cartoon...
On the surface, absolutely.
It was a good... Yeah. Yes. It was a good bit, the Smurfs.
Yeah, Papa Smurf, Smurfette, Jokey, you know, Grouchy Smurf.
Yeah.
Azrael, Gargamel, that whole thing.
The whole thing.
Yeah, and then they tried to get into like the Snorks. They tried to do the underwater Smurfs.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, they did the Smurfs, but they put them underwater. No, the Smurfs were great. In fact, I want to say when I was in the fourth grade, I went as Papa Smurf for Halloween. My mom made me a little Smurf outfit.
Papa Smurf, what a leader.
Papa Smurf was great.
He was a great leader.
Yeah. I don't want to see a behind the scenes what Papa Smurf had going on. It was probably something bad.
It's what you don't know exactly. Won't hurt you.
Yeah. Papa Smurf and Smurfette were probably up to something, and it kind of feels a little culty at this point. But when I was a kid, dude, the Smurfs.
They were all in it together. Yes. They were all for one.
Yeah. Smurf and...
Papa Smurf was like Gandhi.
And I love that you could use Smurf for anything. It's the smurfiest Smurf that ever did Smurf. It's kind of like how we use the F word.
Do you guys have any idea what we're talking about? Buckley, do you even know what the Smurfs are?
So they're at the... This is a barely generational thing. We're all, 5 years apart? Is that correct?
What?
Huh?
In age. The three, this is just...
Yeah, about five.
At the very kind of edge of this generational thing, I remember... the existence of the Smurfs, but they weren't on and running when I was a kid watching cartoons.
Yeah, you missed the Smurf window.
So, but people had Smurf t-shirts. It was still a character that came up here and there, but I don't know any of these plots and people that you're talking about.
Well, they're
Gargamel?
People, they're, yeah, Gargamel was guy.
Not people, characters.
Yeah.
Gargamel was always trying to eat the Smurfs, which was a little dark.
And Azrael was his cat.
Yeah. Who was also trying to eat the Smurfs.
They lived up on the hill.
Yeah.
In the mansion.
They would come down to the mushroom world
of the Smurfs.
You sound
high.
It was great. Great show. Great little show. Great little show. Much like today. Great little show.
Someone asking, is there a problematic picture of you in blueface somewhere? Probably. Absolutely.
Blueface?
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Is there someone out there that's offended by blueface? Yeah. Yeah, I painted my face. Except my mom wouldn't let me go bare-chested. She just made me wear a blue sweatshirt.
Yeah, they didn't wear shirts.
No. No.
The Smurfs.
No.
Yeah, they were just hanging out all the time. I remember that about them.
Well, they were reverse Winnie the Pooh in it. Because normally it was the other way around where you wore a shirt but no pants, which that's the Donald Duckin' or the Winnie the Pooh or Porky the Pig, which I always found a little uncomfortable. At least the Smurfs just went nips out. Except for Smurfette. She was...
She was covered.
She was wearing a dress.
All right. Well,
but
today,
one Smurfette for all the Smurfs, it's a little... Hmm.
Today is Wednesday, and this is a big show because we do not have a show tomorrow.
No, we do not.
We are giving you a no-show Thursday.
Conduits to Duck basketball and then this college football playoff thing.
Oh, do we have that on? I thought we had just the Oregon game on.
No, I think we're going Oregon game into the college football playoff.
Based on timing, that seems like that would be accurate. Oh. I can look at the schedule.
Normally we'd have
right.
An hour show, but the boss, I think, was just depending on how long the game goes.
Nice.
So we're just going right into pregame and away we go.
Mm-hmm.
Way to be on top of it, though.
What do I care? I'm not working.
Rob's out. Rob's going to go home and watch the Smurfs.
Oregon taking on Ohio State tomorrow. So we have to to squeeze a lot in today.
We do have to squeeze a lot in.
And we're going to do that.
Starting...
Next.
Next.
Yeah, you know what I'm going to do? Well, I'll tell you next. I have a new hot programming note.
Ooh. Does it involve Fraggle Rock, as someone brings up?
See, Fraggle was after
me. You didn't Fraggle Rock
it? I was
Fraggle Rock. Liked Fraggle Rock.
I'm too old
for
that.
Well, I had kids, too, so I got kind of the back end where we got shoved towards that. Fraggle Rock was like a hipper Sesame Street.
Yeah,
and I know of Fraggle Rock, but that wasn't in my lane.
You're probably
what was your lane?
I grew up on Sesame Street.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, feel like a lot of kids did. But then, I guess, cartoons.
What was the show on after Sesame Street that was great?
The Electric Company, maybe?
Yeah, The Electric Company. Yeah. Do you remember that?
No, I don't know if it was local programming or whatever, but my parents always tell the story of me being so, like, mesmerized by Sesame Street that I'd watch the first 15 minutes of the McNeil Lair Hour afterwards and not realize that, like...
You're just sitting there staring
at... I'm just, like, glazed over and not aware that it's not Big Bird anymore and we've changed topics.
Wow.
Yeah.
Buck's watching the McLaughlin Group. It's our number two!
God. All right, what else?
Cartoons. I mean, Ninja Turtles was massive.
There you go. Yeah.
You're from the Dan Lanning era. That's what he...
Yeah, we're about the same age. I think he's a year younger than me.
Yeah, Ninja Turtles was huge, man. Still is. That had some staying power.
Yeah. I mean, the cartoon, the movies, all of it.
All right. Well, we'll get started. What is with all the blowouts? We're going to be talking about the college football playoff. Coming up next on The Fan. All right, we've got the college football crack block continuing next. That's a continuation from yesterday, where we will talk about Rose Bowl revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know if you saw, but ratings and attendance for bowl games, I have some numbers.
I haven't seen the attendance, but I did see the ratings.
But first, what's with all the blowouts? Now, my programming note is that the poll question is just going to stay on X for the time being.
Okay.
So it's up there every day. We don't have to cover it here. It's not sponsored. But I'm throwing it up there.
It's just there.
Yeah. Well, it's like, go to X, okay?
Yeah. Figure it out.
Yeah. Figure it out.
Let's go.
But we're not going to... we don't have to cover it every day at 3:15 here like we normally do. We're just going to punt on that son of a bitch.
All right.
How about that?
Rugby style? Let's
turn it over a new leaf in 2025. All right. We're going to get right into the sports talk.
Sports. And speaking of programming notes, yes, the college football playoff game will be on immediately following the Oregon-Ohio State basketball game.
And tomorrow's is Penn State-Notre Dame.
You are correct. And then I'm guessing that the Texas-Ohio State game will be on 9:10. Am I correct?
Well, that's on Friday.
That's the following day. But yeah, I believe so.
Because I don't think we're off on Friday. I think we're...
What?
Yeah. No. So if you want Texas, Ohio State, because we'll be on the air for both of we would be on the air for both of those. So Texas, Ohio State, you can listen to us and then flip over and go back and forth between us
and
Texas and Ohio
State. You should listen to us watching Ohio State, Texas.
I like
that's what it's going to be.
I like where we're going with that, yes. We'll keep you updated on everything you need to know about that game, which could be over within a quarter because that seems to be what Ohio State's doing to teams.
Yeah, that's coverage for that on 9:10 starts at 4 o'clock on Friday.
Bingo.
I love pregame coverage, too.
Hot radio pregame. Let's go.
Well, there have been 38 college football playoff games, and the average margin of victory is 18.4 points.
It does not seem very close. No.
That's no good.
No.
For anyone.
Mm-hmm.
You, me.
Any of us.
Our moms.
No, maybe your moms love blowouts. I don't know.
But I wonder what that is. You know, because it's supposed to be the, you know, it's, and that's not just this year with all the weird seating and everything that they need to get ironed out. It's the whole time.
Well,
it's been nothing but blowouts. We talked about this with Joey last week. The college football championship game, we haven't had a close one in 7 years.
No, it's been a while.
The title game.
I remember the Alabama-Clemson one. I remember that one being nuts. Neither team could get a stop. That was kind of fun.
That was 2017.
I know. That was a long time ago.
It's like...
Well, and maybe it's just the case of we talk about this, that we can talk about parity in college football, and maybe we're finally getting some parity, but there's usually one or two teams that are just different than everybody else. They look different. Oregon has seen it. And then sometimes, you know, games can be closer. Like what was the Ohio State Oregon national championship game? Because I know Ohio State ran away with that, but for three quarters, that was a close game.
It was a 1 point game going into the fourth.
Yeah, but it was like 42-24.
Yeah, I think they scored three unanswered touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and that was that.
You know, Clemson, Texas ended up being 38-24. That was a close game until it wasn't.
But that's 14 points.
What?
14 points. I mean,
yeah, but that was. I mean. If you watch that game, Clemson was in that game, and then Texas pulled away. Yeah. Penn State, Boise State was that way. Boise State had a touchdown called back because of a penalty that I believe would have cut that to a 3-point game in the fourth quarter. Didn't get it, and then Penn State put away the game winner there. So two things. One, sometimes games can be closer than the score is indicated. And then a lot of times in the four-team format, we would get one team that certainly didn't belong. I remember Michigan State. I remember Cincinnati.
Washington get blown out once?
Well, I don't know if they got blown out, but Alabama didn't necessarily score a bunch of points on them, but UW, I think, scored like 3 points.
That was like 21-0 or something.
It might have been like that, like 21-6 or something. But again, close game that just Washington couldn't score. So we've seen where sometimes with four teams, there's one that didn't really belong. 24-7. There was one team that didn't really belong in there, but got in and usually got drubbed. Or when you got to the, like with LSU, that team with Joe Burrow, they were just so much better than everyone else. Or some of those Alabama teams or Georgia teams. Like TCU had the amazing upset over Michigan, but let's be honest, to a man, TCU had nothing to offer Georgia. They just didn't. And so I do think a lot of times in college football, there's just been one or two teams that are just different animals and no one else can compete with them.
Well, 41% of all regular season games mm-hmm. are decided by 20 or more.
Yeah.
But only 10 of the 38 college football playoff games have been decided by 7 points or less.
Well, Bartu talks about this a lot, that college football is the least parity sport in the world. And that, because Dave picks like what? With talent level, coaching, and home field, right? And I think he has attrition now, like how many guys you lose off your roster. But now with the transfer portal, that's probably blown to hell. But he picks, I believe it's almost 80% of games correct, simply based on that. Because when you're Oregon, when you're Ohio State, like how many games this year did Oregon play a team, a regular season, that had any business, if Oregon showed up, had any business even playing with them? Two?
That's it? Yeah, maybe two.
Maybe. Ohio State was one, and then Penn State in the
Big Ten Championship.
In the Big Ten Championship. But that's, again, at the Big Ten Championship. Everyone else, when you looked at a talent composite ranking, they didn't belong on the same field. Whereas in the NFL, even bad teams, all those guys are pros. And so what I'm hoping is that with this NIL, some of this stuff gets spread out a little bit. You're not able to stockpile. But at least in this run, it really hasn't led to much because we're still seeing the blowouts minus Texas and Arizona State, which has been a great game. But like Oregon and Ohio State shouldn't be a blowout. Those are two really good teams that we saw play a classic, but
yeah,
you know,
that's what's weird about the and not that that doesn't happen in the NFL.
Yeah.
That's just what's weird about these college numbers. I mean, only 10 of 38 playoff games, which is supposed to be the best of the best, decided by 7 or less.
Yeah.
In the NFL, for example, let's see, 272 games, 143 of them decided by one possession.
Yeah.
That's 53%. Mm. Half of the games that you watch in the NFL are decided by one possession.
Yeah.
And that is, so I gave you that number of 41% of regular season games in college football are decided by 20 or more. Mm-hmm. You know what that number is in the NFL?
I'm guessing that number is so small.
18%.
Yeah.
So
it's hard to blow teams out in the NFL.
It's a dirty little secret of why, another little thing that gets overlooked of why we love the NFL.
Yeah.
Is that it's just more competitive, yeah. Even when they're two crappy teams.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you see it at the end of week 18 when there's teams with nothing to play for. Atlanta was playing Carolina and New Orleans was playing Tampa Bay. And New Orleans, bunch of guys weren't playing, didn't have the quarterback, best offensive player. Carolina, nothing to play for. And both of those, and by the way, Atlanta lost. And Tampa Bay got pushed to the absolute brink. Because I try to tell people this, like, and it's not like I played in an elite high school league, but my entire high school career, I played against two guys that were any good. And that's no offense to anyone that went on and played it at Portland State or Eastern Washington, but two guys in my 3 years that were really good players. One went and played at USC. The other one went and played at Oregon. That's it. That's all I saw. And then you get to college and I was a really good college player. And in my college career, I would say every year I played against three or four guys that I thought were really good. Like, oh my God, like this guy is significantly better than me. Like I'd run into a Dwight Freeney or Brian Urlacher or something.
Right.
And then you get to the NFL and you're like, every player, every single one, starter, backup, doesn't matter. You're like, good Lord, that guy is a freak. So you think about a team like Ohio State or Oregon this year, if we think those are the two best teams in the country, and on Ohio State's roster, starters, they probably have 14 to 15 guys that will never play in the NFL. And that's the best team in college football.
Well, that leads to the question. So if 10 of 38 college football playoff games have been decided by 7 or less, not very many, do either of these qualify? It kind of feels like both do.
Yes.
Because I know Ohio State's kicking everyone's ass, but you just mentioned it. You know, Texas, tennis. Why was I thinking? I have tennis on my brain.
Do you really?
Bodies fall out of Hershes. When's the first tennis major?
I did see that I believe the preseason collegiate rankings came out in women's tennis. BYU, number 6 in the country.
Really?
I can't remember. I follow BYU Sports on Twitter, and they had a hot come across my timeline today. And
tennis player,
and they're the number 6 team in the country.
Nice.
So maybe that's what it was on your brain.
Well, Texas and Ohio State, I mean, the thing about the Texas-Ohio State game, which leads me to believe it could be a good game, is, one, it's just not so easy to just crush everyone on your way to an easy title. It doesn't work that way.
No. And
two, Texas just has NFL guys all over the place.
Yes.
And that's really it. I know they haven't put it all together, and I know they've been up and down, and no one trusts Sark. But dude, those players, they have guys that can make Jeremiah Smith's life tough.
Yes.
And I was reading that Ohio State, Texas will have 27 players on the field between the two of them with NFL draft grades.
Yeah.
So
it's a lot of talent.
So maybe that's the recipe as opposed to the Penn State's, Boise State's.
It is.
The Notre Dame, Indiana.
It is.
The, Arizona State, Texas ended up being close.
Yeah, but that should have.
It doesn't always.
It doesn't always, but yes. That's the gap that I'm talking about is, and somebody, Michigan State guy even pointed out that Alabama, Michigan State game, they said that was like 7-0 going into the half.
Spartan bro.
But again, the depth of Alabama just wears you down, but Texas and Ohio State shouldn't wear each other down. They should, that should be a movable object, right? Irresistible force type stuff.
And the same is true of Penn State, Notre Dame.
Should.
Pretty equal, it seems. I mean, the spread is.
A lot of NFL bodies. And the other one, too, is I think the layoff for college football. I do think that causes a weird reset. And I think some teams handle it better than others. And like Ohio State, you know, Oregon, right? When you get out to, when you jump out like that, if you don't start well in these sorts of games, you can get behind the eight ball and it's hard to recover from. And I think that has something to do with it too, because I do think, unlike the NFL where there's more of a rhythm, in college you've always, you know, the old system, everyone got 3 to 4 weeks off and then you had to pick up and play again. And I think that can be kind of wonky too.
Yeah, I do feel like in NFL games, for whatever reason, perhaps it's just the caliber player, but Oregon has great caliber players, and they just could not recover from starting slow against Ohio State.
No. Well, I mean, that's a huge hole, but yeah.
I just mean like 14-0.
Yeah.
Not 34-0. 14-0. Yeah. It's time to go. Wake up.
Couldn't stabilize.
But I feel like in the NFL, you see this all the time where teams fall down 7-0, 10-0.
21-3 even. They're in the game in the last possession.
And they just bounce right back. They just get up and bounce right back.
And the other one, too, about it is, in the NFL, when we get to this point, we usually have elite quarterbacks, right? Look, who's our playoff matchups that we got in the NFL when we look at it?
Well, you can go Packers, Eagles, you can go Rams, Vikings.
I mean,
you can go Texans, Chargers.
Yeah, we got really good. C.J. Stroud and Justin Herbert and Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, Bo Nix, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, and Jordan Love. Like, you're getting a pattern here. And let's look at even the college, the four teams that are left. No offense, but we're getting Will Howard versus Quinn Ewers.
Yeah.
And Riley Leonard, who, by the way, they blew out technically Georgia, right? By what? Two scores?
That's a double-digit win.
Double-digit win. Yeah. Riley Leonard threw for 90 yards, for God's sakes. And Drew Aller's on the other side, and that's the other one. So if you fall down early in college, dude, you don't want Riley Leonard.
Who's bringing you back?
Who's bringing you back? Whereas if the Chargers, what did the Chargers fall down to the Jags that one year?
Well, that was last year.
What was? Yeah,
was that Staley? Last year? Well, that was last year.
Yeah, that was 2 years.
I thought it was 2 years ago.
Might have been two. I don't remember.
But yeah, it was like 24-3 or something like that.
Yeah,
24-0.
Well, this thing. But when you have a Trevor Lawrence, you have a Justin Herbert or whatever, you've got a chance. I'll tell you right now, Riley Leonard falls down
by 27-0. And they won.
Yeah. Riley Leonard is not coming back.
Although Trevor Lawrence, I think, turned it over.
It was ridiculous.
Did he turn it over?
I want to say it was five.
Four.
It was a lot.
Times in the, yeah, four first half interceptions in the first, and they were in the first half, they were on 27-0 and they won.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks to Brandon Staley. Yeah. But yeah, it's just interesting. I just, I say all that, not to scare you that these games will be blowouts, but here we go again with the, oh, these should be great games. And we're flipping it off in the second quarter.
Yeah. Washington.
I mean, that was Ohio State, Oregon was supposed to be the game of the year.
Yeah. Well, remember last year in the championship, right? Washington and Michigan.
Exactly. And that was close for a while.
Kind of, but...
But like I said, we haven't had a close championship game since 2018.
And you could tell when you watched that game, even when Washington was threatening to make it a game, anyone that watched 2 seconds of that game...
They were barely hanging on.
You knew who the better team was.
Yeah.
You knew it.
Well, hopefully we get good ones. We'll talk about it later. Who wins the college football playoff? But up next, our college football crack block. Here's Buck. Hey, that old Shea bro reminds me, we are going to check in on the NFL or the NBA today.
Yes.
I think that's really sexy.
Is it?
I think it's really sexy.
There is a sexy game tonight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dare I say?
Yes.
I mean, this is the definition. 30-5 and 31-4.
Yeah, good stuff.
I saw a fun Lou Dort fact that you will love today.
Oh, you know I love me some Lou Dort.
I know you love you some Lou Dort.
That's my guy.
And I saw it and I immediately thought of you.
It's the type of player the Blazers need.
This is a fun, if you want to know how good Oklahoma City is, 30-5.
Are we just going to get into it right now?
Well, this is my
without
one little
Chet, Lou, mostly.
I got my little Lou Dort fact.
Chet's dead, right?
Yeah, Chet's dead.
He literally broke his hip.
Yeah. His pelvis.
So he's dead.
Wasn't his hip. I think it was his pelvis.
Is he back this year? Back for the playoffs?
Yeah, he'll be back.
It was like an 8 to 10 week injury.
Yeah, they said like all-star, you know, type stuff.
All-star so, if you don't know, Oklahoma City is playing Cleveland tonight.
Yes, two best teams.
And they are
the
two top teams in the league. Boston is not one of the top two best teams in the league, although they are number two in the East.
Yeah.
Cleveland has won, I think, 15 in a row?
No, it's OKC's won 15 in a row and Cleveland's won 10
in a row.
Cleveland's favored by 2.5.
Yep.
First time ever that two teams have met with one having won 15 in a row and the other having won 10 in a row. And I don't know where the game is. Where is the game? I assume Cleveland.
It's in Cleveland.
Yeah, because they're favored.
This is my fun Lou Dort fact.
So who does Cleveland have besides Donovan Mitchell?
They've got...
old What's-His-Nuts?
The old What's-His-Nuts.
They still have Colin Sexton?
Why can't I think of him? The big guy from USC.
Evan Mobley.
Evan Mobley.
He's good.
Yeah. Yes.
They got Jared Allen as the center.
Nice.
And then, Garland is
Darius
the,
Garland.
Darius Garland.
Oh, he's a nice player.
Is the point
he
guard.
He torched the Blazers.
And then, LeVert is comes off their bench.
Cavs coach is? Anybody? You guys got that?
I do not have that holster.
What is the coaching matchup tonight?
Oh, I do know the Thunder is Mark Daigneault.
Okay. Okay. And who will he be taking on?
I don't know.
Kenny Atkinson.
Kenny Atkinson.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Idiots.
Right there.
So anyway, give me my hot Lou Dort.
What's your hot Lou Dort fact?
Yeah.
So, you know, they do the defensive ratings, which are kind of wonky in the NBA.
Why are they wonky?
Well, I don't think many people understand, like, where...
How do you measure it accurately?
But Lou Dort has 103 defensive rating.
That's my guy.
That is the worst rating.
What?
Wait, of any rotational player on the Oklahoma City Thunder team. They run nine with Chet, but it is the worst individual defensive rating. Wait for it. If Lou Dort's 103, if that was the average of all of the rotational players in Oklahoma City, you following me?
Not really, but okay.
Okay, he has the worst rating of any guy that plays.
I got that.
If all of the players, including Lou Dort, averaged a 103 like Lou Dort, which is the worst.
Yeah.
Would you care to guess where Oklahoma City would rank as a defensive team?
Number one.
That's how good Oklahoma City's defense is.
So, well, I think, so it says a lot that Lou Dort, who is a scrappy defensive stalwart.
Yes.
The fact that he is the lowest rated defender on that team is insane. Because he's a good defender.
And if you had a team of 8 Lou Dorts, it would be the number one defensive team in the NBA. That's how good Oklahoma City's defense is.
But they're playing better than Lou Dort defensively.
Yes.
Man, that Daigneault guy is really good.
Daigneault.
So, no offense to Cleveland, but most people believe, especially when...
it'll be Boston
when,
out of the East.
When Chet comes back from his old lady hip fracture, the NBA champion comes out of Oklahoma City.
Don't you think? I mean, come on. The Cavs aren't going to the finals. They could get by Boston.
Yeah. I think this is one of those for a lot of people. They want Cleveland to prove it. So,
well, yeah. Chance I mean, there's to prove a it total difference between winning a lot of games in the regular season and then seven-game series against my Celtics.
Yes. Your Boston Celtics. Second in the East, by the way.
Well, now we discovered the NBA.
Oh, there you go. That's it.
Look at that.
What's up with us?
Hot. I just
turning
knew,
over a new
I
lead.
Just knew you wanted some hot Lou Dort.
I love Lou Dort.
And I came with some hot Lou Dort for you. I just wish Kendrick Perkins would get off my TV.
Guys, move on.
He might be the most unlikable ESPN personality, and that's saying something.
Fan text line 503-864-6326. Somebody text said, we can all agree the NBA would be the first league with an AI coach.
That'd be fantastic.
I think so.
Dude, if you got Calculon, just the world's greatest AI coach on the sidelines.
Just all analytics?
Oh, it'd be amazing. You just put him like a Twinkie robot from like Buck Rogers or yeah. just like a... I don't know, just a box with a computer head in it. 100%, let's yeah. do it.
You can't, I mean, the Latrell Sprewell thing, like you can't choke the analytics coach, well,
I
the
guess,
AI
I
coach.
Guess you could pick up the, monitor. Remember when there was that
unplug it.
There was that hitchhiking robot that was trying to go in across the country and it got destroyed like in Philly. You could have that, but it would survive. I mean, you could just, you know, you just reboot it. Like you break it and the next, they just roll out another cart. With your computer coach on it?
Yeah. Try arguing with that guy.
No.
He's going to bench your ass.
Dude, that would be the greatest thing ever. If some garbage, like the Wizards, who have nothing going on, are just like, you know what? Strictly analytics at this point. Feeding it into a machine. Let's go. And let's be honest. The Wizards are 6-28. You're telling me that an AI coach couldn't do better than 6-28?
I am with you 100%. I think they would do way better.
And yeah. the players would have no one to really blame but themselves.
Exactly.
Yes. Like, that's, I mean, that's because the AI couldn't be wrong.
That's the
so.
Genius of it. The AI, it, like, what are you going to do? Argue with it?
Yeah. I mean, you can't be like, it's well, we're not getting enough because, you know, this coach doesn't. No, we've got this thing figured
this
out.
This is all
you.
A formula.
This is you.
It appears that you suck and you will no longer start. How do you feel about
the
that?
The numbers back me up. You want to know the other hot NBA fact that I have right now?
Well, I guess we're just going to go right into it.
You know,
let's do it.
You know the Ball Brothers?
Yeah, I heard one of them did a rap song or something.
Yeah, he Jello. Apparently he's taking over the NBA. He can't play, and he's never been in the NBA. He's a G League guy, but apparently now they've moved on, and he's no longer playing. He's just rapping, and now he's the hit sensation. And NBA locker rooms across the board are all listening to his jam.
Do you have the jam?
I do not have the jam. Can we get find the jam?
Let's yeah. find the jam. The people need to
I
hear
wonder
the jam.
If I, it needs you to be censored or bleeped, though. It probably does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, at
the chorus, you got to go whoop.
I tell you what, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Who would have thought that?
From petty theft in China, getting suspended at UCLA to this Jello
ball.
He was
the one that stole sunglasses.
Yeah. I mean, he was the. For lack of a better term, the loser Ball Brother. Yeah. The other two can actually play a little bit.
Yeah, he sucks. Well, the one's great. The LaMelo in Charlotte.
And Lonzo got pretty good, but he's had bad knee issues.
Yeah, Lonzo's fallen apart. LaMelo is really
Where
good.
Where does he play?
He LaMelo? Plays in Charlotte, and just no one pays any attention. But that dude is good.
And Lonzo plays for?
Chicago.
The Bulls
but
still?
But he's got... He's
always hurt.
He's got Chet hip knees.
And he's the oldest.
Yeah, and he's just fallen apart. But apparently the younger one can't play basketball worth a crap, but...
Hey, gotta carve out your
It blows my mind that he is now some sort of budding hip hop star.
Gotta carve out your own path.
Gosh man. Almighty. That's all the NBA stuff I got.
Well, I got more.
Do you really?
Well, not really. I wanted to talk about Jimmy Butler, but we can do that later. The college football crack block allegedly is next on the fan. Here it is. This is LiAngelo Ball.
Taking the NBA by storm. Me who she be, I'm kinda with it, show me some more.
You're into it, aren't you?
I don't think it's horrible.
I think Rob's feeling it.
It's pretty catchy.
I'm trying to listen to what he's saying, but I have a hard time. Yeah.
I just know that, like, every day I see another video of an NBA locker room going nuts while playing.
Yeah, they love it.
They love it.
You think Damian Lillard's pissed? Nobody's jamming to his rap.
I'm sure he's not thrilled.
Did I just hear a started from the bottom?
Oh, I mean, maybe. I don't know. I don't have the lyrics.
Sued by Drake?
It might be an homage.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Don't love that part.
Look,
hey, that doesn't sound bad. Like, if you played that for me and you said, who's this?
You wouldn't think it was.
I wouldn't say just some random basketball player. Yeah. I said some rapper that I don't know. I don't know.
You'd say some out-of-work basketball player.
It is an out-of-work basketball player who now has a career in hip-hop. There you go.
Okay. LiAngelo
also is Jello.
Jello Ball.
Yeah.
The other two Ball brothers are actually good.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, now we've run out of another... We've run out of time for another thing.
Oh, for God's sake.
It's just unbelievable how we do this. Every day, every damn day we do this.
Yeah, we get derailed. Good thing there's another hour and another hour and another hour.
Yeah, so coming up in the crack block, we have some numbers, increased attendance and ratings for the college football bowl games.
Is the bowl game, is it officially become a men of increase?
I mean, they're up. Right. Numbers are up.
Yeah. Men of increase.
And the money that Oregon State and Washington State are getting from the Rose Bowl.
Hey-o.
We need to talk about that.
Yeah.
Because
that's
a lot.
That's a good little it's a good little chunk of change.
Also, next hour, we will have a segment entitled Fire and Ice.
Mm.
Next hour on The Fan.